In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A prophet is typically without honor in his own house because of familiarity. When Moses goes home at night with the glow of Mount Sinai fading from his face and the acclaim of the people ringing in his ears, he has to face Zipporah with her flinty knife. She has seen Moses at his worst. She has even intervened for him. In a similar fashion, you might be impressed with your professors in a way that their wives and their children are not. It is really the worst for the practical department, because nothing is so theoretical as practical, and anyone who gives advice on marriage and family life is bound to look and feel like a hypocrite. It is easy to look smart in a controlled environment, to be pious and to say the right things. But do you have what it takes to circumcise your own son? Or must your wife do it for you? This is not the case with our Lord, however. It is not familiarity that causes the people of Nazareth to refuse him. They have no stories of our Lord cutting down cherry trees or breaking school windows or throwing eggs at passing cars. He did not misbehave, ever. He is no Moses or Elijah or Abraham. His preaching and his life are a perfect match. So too, his miracles are indisputably true. No one ever accuses him of being a charlatan. There is no drama, no setup, no smoke or mirrors or fancy incantations. He just heals. He restores creation in front of them, and there is no argument about what has happened. They are undeniable. But even greater than this is how our Lord's words open up Moses, so that no one can dispute that what he says is true. He speaks with clarity and power. And not even the most clever of the lawyers can find a mistake, a piece of flawed logic, a misapplication or misemphasis. There are no contradictions, no missing pieces. His words are perfectly matched to his life, and they are perfectly matched to the divine revelation of the Old Testament. And as such, they render his opponents impotent and silent. It is that is ultimately the problem. It is not familiarity that causes them to not honor him. Rather, it is familiarity with the truth of what he has said. Despite his life and miracles, despite the fact that everything he says is correct according to Moses, they refuse to accept the truth that he is God. It is this truth that shocks and scandalizes them. They hate what he says, and though they cannot argue against it, they will not hear it. They reject it out of hand. That is why they ask, where does his wisdom and his power come from? They ask because he says it comes from God, and they refuse that answer. They thereby hint that it comes, in fact, from the devil. If it does not come from God, this power comes from the devil. This is also why they remind everyone that he is the son of Joseph and Mary, the brother of James and the rest. They cannot dispute his miracles, they cannot find a failure in his life, and they cannot criticize his teaching. So they cling to all of their hatred, they cling with all of their hatred to this lie. He is just a man. Look at that bunch of sinners in the carpenter's house, they say. Those people are no better than us. He is one of them. He's just a man. The irony is that they are so close to being correct, that he is one of them, that he has joined himself to sinners and is not ashamed of them, that in fact, he will even suffer their death. That is why God has become a man. And that is the point of all our theology. This is the point always of the offense. All of the genera of Christology confess a single reality, God is a man. God is the man Jesus Christ, and there is no other God than him. The Jews hate this, for it seems to contradict Moses, even though they can't figure out how. The Greeks hate it even more, because it makes no sense. This is no way for a God to behave. The primary distinction in Greek mythology between gods and men is that the gods are immortal and men are mortal. Zeus likes to use humans for his pleasure, occasionally even taking up human flesh in order to have intercourse with a beautiful woman. But Zeus does not become, he cannot become mortal by definition. Zeus cannot die. And yet Jesus, our God, is a man. He dies. He did not become a man to please himself, but to please his Father. He became a man in order to die for those who hate and betray and reject him. He became a man to stop the lies and the hatred and the cycle of death. This is what the people of Nazareth refused. This is what everyone in hell has refused, for they reject the name of the only begotten. It was also refused by James, the brother of our Lord. But after the resurrection, our Lord appeared to St. James, and he forgave him. He even made James, that one-time doubter, that rejecter of the truth, a Nazarene, the bishop in Jerusalem. And now, James was greatly honored in the early church, given the title James the Just. But James the Just probably still had to go home at night and face a few people who knew something of his frailty, of his past, that he had not always been the just, that there was a time when he had refused our Lord, and that he sometimes still grew angry or discontent or lazy. That is the life of Christians on this side of glory who struggle against the fallen flesh. We live as sinners forgiven. We live by faith and not by works. This is the way of Moses, who failed the Lord and yet still found favor in his eyes, and who, by the grace of God and the Messiah to come, kept his son and his wife. If our families will not forgive us, there will be no joy or peace on this earth. The life of faith is life that is lived in forgiveness, not only in the church, but also in the home. All of us are still infected with original sin, and all of us look and feel like hypocrites. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, this grace and forgiveness permeates all of our lives, so that even at home, contrary to expectation and justice, prophets might find honor from their wives and children. Zipporah might love Moses. And notice this, St. James of Nazareth was saved. The Lord did not turn his back on Nazareth, even when they turned their backs on him. St. James found forgiveness and grace from his brother. So are we all honored to call Christ our brother and his father our father. For we are all sons of the carpenter and brothers of our Lord, our God, and a man like us. In Jesus' name, amen.